Rodgers takes the snap. Play action, looks right, pumps once, throws right, caught, front right pylon, Garrett Wilson, that's a jet touchdown! Garrett Wilson, toe taps, just inside the front right pylon! And Aaron Rodgers puts it right in his hands, and the Jets extend their lead.
Bob Wischusen on the call, Jets Radio Network. Listen, all right, I get it. Why people are scared of the Jets. Last night, you got a glimpse of Aaron Rodgers in a vintage performance, Pearl. We've been waiting a long time to see this. San Francisco was a little disappointing in the opener. Tennessee has a good defense. That was kind of a slog of a game. This was Aaron Rodgers being that dude. Ball coming out quick, ball getting distributed to every single one of his offensive weapons, everyone eating, everyone having a good day. And Rodgers looked good when he did have to escape pressure and even ran for a couple first downs.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that stood out to me was the weapons. Mike Williams looked amazing. I thought that guy was supposed to be always injured. Alan Lazard, back from the dead. The two running backs are great. So it's just a little hard because the Patriots look like, I mean, if there's a worse, I mean, the Panthers are bad, but I can't imagine this. This roster is crazy with the Patriots. Like, they are so bereft of talent. It just hits you in the face, and they look poorly coached on top of that, at least offensively. Defensively, they did their best. But yeah, this was incredible. The Jets, I wonder how it's going to look against really good teams. How's it going to look against your Bills? Is the offense, is Aaron Rodgers going to be able to move like that and hit those passes? Or is he going to be, or is someone going to be able to chase him down? Because he looked faster than the Patriots last night. It's incredible. He looked young.
Yeah, and you do kind of forget that he is 40 coming off the Achilles when he's in a rhythm like that. And listen, there were a couple times when he got taken down. So maybe you're like, all right, is he going to pop up? Is he going to be hobbling?
I know, I was nervous too.
But, you know, I think we're getting further and further away from it. And I guess maybe are you a little more concerned when he's actually playing in their home stadium? Because the turf at MetLife Field has kind of taken on a life of its own about how, you know, there's like a boogeyman aspect to the turf. People think that it causes injuries. But anyway, this Patriots team is not good. Clock may have struck midnight a little on the Patriots. All the pixie dust could be gone from the first 2 weeks. They beat the Bengals in Cincinnati, took overtime with the Seattle Seahawks, although they eventually lose. It's like, all right, well, maybe the Patriots have a little something going. They don't. Jacoby Brissett was battered and bruised, and it's just not a dynamic offense by any stretch. So here you go. You get a good combination here that works out in the Jets' favor. Final score, 24-3, does not tell the story. The Jets had total control of this game. They had total control of time of possession. Their defense was way, way more scary, ferocious. And, you know, this makes me feel good that I picked the Jets to win the division. This makes me feel good that I picked the Jets to go to the AFC Championship game. This is the type of thing that you get worried about.
Yeah. Oh, man. I just feel like their schedule's so easy. Like, they're favored in almost every game.
Yeah, they're playing Denver next week.
They have a lot of Denver. They have Jacksonville. They have Seattle. Like, they're Colts. I'm looking at it like, there are a lot of very winnable games. Is this going to be an Aaron Rodgers year, high seed, bust in the playoffs?
Or MVP.
Yeah, bust in the playoffs, right? That was he had two MVPs and lost. Did he lose his first playoff game in both those seasons?
So here's the thing about what happens in the playoffs, though. If you just look on paper, this is the type of team that wins in the playoffs, where you have a good quarterback who's being efficient, you have multiple weapons, and you have a running game and a great defense. Like, that generally does win you. Like, the thing about Green Bay, the defense was never able to live up to their end of the bargain in a lot of those games.
Well, I think the real way to see somebody who's going to fall short in the playoffs is somebody who got there because of an easy schedule, somebody who got there because of an easy division. Remember Peyton Manning used to always bomb out in the playoffs. I'm like, yeah, because you're not playing the three franchise teams in your division. So
I don't know. The Patriots always had a real easy path, and they were awesome in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. But I do think that, like, you might have a deceiving Jets record at the end of this year, because the Patriots are obviously awful. I think the Dolphins are going to probably fall apart, and then they're your Bills. They probably split with the Bills. That means they're 5-1 in the division. So maybe not. I mean, maybe the Dolphins figure this out. Maybe Tua comes back, but generally, It's setting up really pretty for the Jets. I don't know. It's hard for me to actually believe the Jets are going to really get to that next level. Like, is this better than the Mark Sanchez Jets? Is it the same old Jets? I don't know. I can't get there, Maggie. You know what I mean? Like, the history is still weighing on me despite what I saw on the field.
This team is better than the Mark Sanchez Jets. Listen, those teams did a lot more. They went to back-to-back AFC championship games, so like I can't tell you the results, but
this team would beat Tom Brady's Patriots? Ooh, that's
I'm just telling
statement.
You, Mark Sanchez was they had to work around him. At one point, they had a color-coded system that they had to go to tell Mark whether it was red light or green light or yellow light. I think they probably have more talented wide receivers already. I don't know. The run game, Tomlinson.
It's a bold statement after seeing them whoop the Patriots last night that they're better than
those were talented teams.
They were extremely talented.
They're expensive teams.
I went to tons of their games. I was at their AFC Championship games. I co-hosted a show with someone who was a star of that team, Scott. They were the number one defense. So that was something that made it a little different. I think the Jets are a top five defense. Yeah. That team was number one.
They had borderline Hall of Famers all up and down that offensive line. In fact,
I think Mangold.
Let's not forget the greatest name in football history.
Ferguson.
They had four All-Pros. They had a very, very expensive team, too. Like,
it was kind of a weirdly good team. Because, like as you said, Maggie, like they had really, in both of you guys, really big stars, but perhaps not quarterback, perhaps not skill position where you look at it and say, wow, that's a supernova. Like you see Aaron Rodgers, that's a supernova at quarterback. You see Garrett Wilson, that's a supernova receiver. Like they didn't have that.
Right.
Now, do they have, and I was going to say the reason why I hate to rain on my own parade, because I'm definitely having one, having the Patriots and the Phillies get dog walked in the same night is a great night in the Stewart household. But you see a guy like Morgan Moses go down, a guy who's usually an Iron Man but is older. And I go back to what has been the biggest issue for the Jets over the last few years has been offensive line health. And he went down. We hope he comes back. But is Elijah Vera Tucker going to survive another 17-game season? He's coming off an Achilles. Tyron Smith is due for, a strained tricep that sits him for a while. Like, are they going to be able to protect Rodgers the way they did last night for the whole season? That's one thing I'm worried about.
Well, it was such a big deal to watch Rodgers escape from pressure. Because it's not going to be perfect. You don't have that offensive line we talked about that was protecting a rookie Mark Sanchez who went to the AFC Championship game and was, the next year beating the Patriots on the road. Like that, you don't have that line. But if Rodgers can escape, then it will help.
Or is he going to be a little overconfident about running? I mean, I got nervous when I saw him running around. That one time he was tackled out of bounds right on the line and sort of tripped. That looked like an injury waiting to happen.
I thought when he slid, I got a little worried. I don't know why sliding is the safest play that you have besides a kneel down. And I was like, is he going to pop up okay?
Yeah, I don't know if I want him moving around as much as he did last night.
Let's go to Adrian. He's our pal in Maryland telling us all to pump the brakes. What's up, Adrian?
Yeah, let's pump the brakes here. Maggie, when Aaron Rodgers was with Green Bay, actually, it was his offense that flawed because when they played the 49ers one playoff game, I think they scored 12 points.
Yep.
So let's not say it was all Green Bay's defense. It was a lot of Aaron Rodgers. Brady gave away three interceptions. Aaron Rodgers never capitalized on it. So I think it's a little more of Aaron Rodgers. Let's slow down on these Jets. Don't forget the first week, 49ers, they got manhandled. They should have lost the game last week against Tennessee if it wasn't for Will Levis. So let's not act like this is a great defense against a terrible, terrible Patriots offense that couldn't even drop back and give Brissett 2 seconds to throw the ball.
Here's the thing. As Perloff keeps pointing out, this is not a hard schedule for New York. So, how are we ever going to know? Maybe, I guess, until the postseason, because do you think you're going to get an accurate view when they play Denver next week? No. I mean, they have to go to London to play the Vikings. Who knows with those games? They're always wonky. And it's not like they're not facing Murderer's Row this year.
I agree with that. The NFL set the Jets up to succeed, as you can see, because basically they're backloaded as far as their game, but you are what you are. You are, and we'll find out if they make it to the playoffs. I don't think they're going to make it to the playoffs.
Because you think Rodgers is getting hurt?
No, I think their defense is really flawed. It just wasn't shown last night. Mm. Their defense is flawed, and they have problems. They only can go to Wilson to throw the ball, and he wasn't even that good last night.
Yeah, there's still some room for improvement there with Rodgers to Garrett Wilson.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
They weren't on the same page on a lot of plays. Yeah,
no, but generally, though, Adrian, I do think, like, I thought you saw some other options emerge, and who cares? Those running backs are awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
But the Patriots could not tackle. They had so many angles on those guys, and just let them go right by them.
And Perloff, they couldn't tackle. They were in the hole every time to make the tackle, and they did not execute on making the tackle. We can't go by what the Patriots look like, because the Patriots are – I'm not saying they're tanking, but they're not really trying to win games because Drake May's going to be in there week 7, week 8, just to see what he has. And I understand they shouldn't put him in there because he's going to get killed.
Yeah.
He's going to get killed behind this offensive line. So we just can't go by what we've seen last night. That's all I'm saying. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a great Friday, great weekend.
Adrian, you too. Always appreciate when you check in. Yeah, I mean – I've been on record with this. If you are putting in Drake May, like with this idea that, oh, we'll just wait until like week 8 or week 9 or week 10 so we can see what we have, but you're putting him behind this terrible offensive line. What do you think the opponent does? They don't say, oh, wow, we're just getting a look at Drake May. We should ease up on the pass rush. No. He got sacked twice last night. Now, he can move a little bit, so maybe he can protect himself, but he's going
to
get crushed.
I mean, you're going to have to play this kid at some point.
Why?
Because the Patriots aren't going to be any better next year. That roster is 4 years away. What are you just going to wait? If you're going to wait around for the Patriots to get good, then he's going to be on his third contract by the time he plays.
Well, maybe the offensive line can get a little bit better in an offseason.
That wasn't just the offensive line, by the way. The coaches seemed to have no idea what was going on.
Okay.
I mean, there was the offensive line. They weren't even engaging with the Jets. Like, 3 free rushers were coming in on every play because they just didn't think the Patriots were going to throw a log. If Drake May's out there, maybe have him heave it downfield once in a while.
To who?
To anybody. Any human body that's out there. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, he was so unthreatening. The Jets just let the dogs out every play.
855-212-4227. Jets beating the Patriots, not the only thing going on in sports last night. Shohei Ohtani, yesterday afternoon-ish, joined some exclusive company, 50-50 Club, and exclusive meaning he's the only one there. It's a club of one, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. The TV call, Joe Davis, says the greatest day in baseball history. Do you agree? George is in L.A. calling about something other than the Rams. Good morning, George.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, might as well switch over to the Dodgers for now.
Smart.
But Shohei Ohtani, we got our money's worth, 50-50, first guy ever. And you know that most of that $700 million is on the backside. And advertising out of Japan and Asia is amazing for the Dodgers and for their franchise. So I think everything is coming together for the Dodgers. We'll see if they can get the World Series this year or not. But you guys have a great weekend and a good morning. Thank you.
George, thank you. Yeah, I mean, let's check the poll results. Can we get an update here on Shohei?
So we asked a question earlier. Was Shohei Ohtani's 3 home run, 10 RBI, 2 stolen base game that clinched MLB's first ever 50-50 season the greatest single-day performance in baseball history? 69% say yes, 31% say no.
I mean, you guys want to poo-poo this record, like, oh, stolen bases don't mean as much. I mean, the crowd is into this. I don't think we have, like, I think we got a pro-baseball crowd as part of our, you know, social media following. They know. It's not like they watched their first baseball game yesterday.
I just don't know, for me, how you can say this is greater than Reggie Jackson in the World Series. That, to me, is just... Someone needs to explain that to me. Like, I think this is definitely one of the greatest ever, no question. I'm not even crazy about the 50-50, but to do it in this fashion, 10 RBIs. I kept telling you guys about 10 RBIs. I know the 3 home runs are crazy. 10 RBIs in the game is ridiculous. Like, I don't even know how to wrap my brain around that.
I know Perloff doesn't recognize RBI as a meaningful stat.
Well, I mean, you can't get one. You can't get a 2 RBIs if you're up at the bat with nobody on the bases. So, anyway, regardless of that, though, I just think that, I think we're getting caught up in the moment, but is it because of the 50-50, or is it because if this was in May, would this be the greatest? Like, that's what I'm still confused about, what people
are. It's the 50-50.
Yeah.
So, okay, see, because to me, like, I think you have to separate the two. Like, if this game happened and you didn't get 50-50, it wouldn't be the greatest single-game offensive performance? Like, that's...
I think so, because to me, I think about, like, Derek Jeter hitting the home run to go for 3,000.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the greatest moments, because it's like, I mean, Derek Jeter hit home runs, but to hit a home run to hit 3,000 is remarkable.
Yeah.
So I think that it is baked
in.
How
do you do it? Yeah.
Right. But again, we're talking about there are postseason performances that have been unmatched. And again, Reggie Jackson being the one I'm really thinking about. Someone needs to explain to me how this is better than that.
Yeah, I mean, we had a call earlier that said Don Larsen's perfect game in a right. World Series. Yeah, I think those are definitely two that were bigger.
And it's the Marlins. Yeah, yeah. I mean, come on. Like,
well,
I
mean, it's about Shohei, though.
He's great, but like, Ray Jackson's doing it against like a great team in the World Series. We're talking about the Marlins have a position pitcher player at the end of the game. I mean, come on.
Speaking of, yeah, the final score was 20-4.
Yeah.
But a couple tack-ons, is that what you're saying? Compiler?
Exactly.
Here's the thing. There was actually a moment yesterday, speaking of the Marlins, where Skip Schumacher, who's the manager for the Marlins, could have walked Ohtani when he was at 49 homers. The first base was open. Could have walked him and decided we're going to do history. And you saw the officials were kind of like scrambling to make sure the balls were all authenticated and all that stuff because they were on the precipice. Should he have just walked him? Do you not want history being made on your field against your team? I mean, the Marlins are now like the answer to a trivia question.
You can't walk them there. You got to play the game. Like I don't like smoke dodging. That's one of the things I hate the most. Like, play the game the way you would normally play the game. It's a blowout. There's no reason not to pitch to him, other than you're trying to avoid embarrassment. You're an embarrassing team. You have 59 wins. You got embarrassed 3-4 months ago. You can't now decide, okay, we're going to hold this embarrassment. You should have got a better roster in the offseason.
That's not Skip Schumacher's fault.
Sure.
There's a general manager in a front office who decides who the players are. And there is one thing about being bad in anonymity, which the Marlins are because nobody cares about them, and then being center stage, you just served up maybe the greatest day in the history of baseball. I don't like people who dodge smoke either, EJ, but I do think there's something to, how does this help your team? You're Skip Schumacher. I'm not trying to help Ohtani, and I'm not trying to help Major League Baseball either. How do I help my team? Does serving them up on a platter for Ohtani basically to feast, does that help the psyche of my team?
I think, honestly, if you really want to help your team, pull a fire alarm and just end the season as quickly as possible. Like,
if
yeah.
they only could.
Like, it can't get any worse.
Yeah, yeah. What's the difference?
It just got worse.
It can't. Like, you're not winning anything anyway. So let these players get their innings, pitch. The only thing you can question is Vidal Bruján pitching in the ninth inning. That's the one
position
thing
player.
You can... Yeah, you can argue that you could have walked them or pitched around them or...
He can
around.
Make a position player serve up his 51st home run. Like, again, Ohtani's, you know. I thought that was interesting. If I was Skip Schumacher, I would have walked him. 855-212-4227. Okay, coming up next, every Friday, we welcome Nick Costos, the co-host of You Better You Bet, onto the show to help us, and by extension you, make some money this weekend. We'll do that next.
You know what, Maggie? Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. It's kind of hard as a Philadelphia fan to be in New York when the New York teams are good, but I can handle the Jets being good. I cannot handle the New York Giants being good because I'm an Eagles fan.
Well, don't worry about it.
Yeah, so I'm in good shape. That's all I'm saying.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I did have the Mets beat the Phillies last night. That was tough. But Jets I can handle. As long as the Giants aren't good, all is good in the world.
Wow, it's funny you would say that just as we are welcoming in our guest Nick Costos, co-host of You Better You Bet, noted Giants fan, actually had a lot invested in the Giants last week. But Nick, are you off for the season? Are you still got any kind of hope, or where are you with the Giants?
To echo what Maggie just said, good news for you, buddy. The Giants aren't going to be good for a while, so I think you're going to be pretty happy. Not only am I not off the Giants for the season, I'm almost certainly going to bet them on Sunday coming up against the Cleveland Browns to cover the spread. And I don't want to do it, but I feel like we absolutely have to do it, unfortunately, this Sunday.
Okay, so I was actually going to start with you right there. Nick Costos joining us. There's a couple of these 6.5s that are out there, these 6.5-point spreads. Cleveland, the New York Giants is one. Tampa Bay hosting Denver is another one. And I think more than 6.5, the 49ers at the Rams. I've seen that up to 7, sometimes 7.5. So for some of the larger spreads this week, how are you approaching that?
Okay, so I actually think with the 2 6.5 games, which currently is Giants and Denver underdogs, the Super Bowl 21 Memorial Parlay there with those two teams, 39-20 Giants at Pasadena, California at the Rose Bowl. Great game. I was 3 years old. I actually like both underdogs. And the question that you have to ask yourself is, can you pull the trigger with Daniel Jones and Bo Nix? I think it's a lot more palatable to do it with the Giants than it is to do it with Denver. And look, like, I bet Cleveland last weekend against Jacksonville, so this is not like an anti-Cleveland thing. It's more week one, they got absolutely trucked, obviously, by the Cowboys at home. And then last week, and, you know, when you bet on games, even if you win a bet, like I bet Cleveland, I won my bet last week against Jacksonville, you know, you owe it to yourself to kind of like do some investigating into the game to see, like, how did this game actually play out? And I'm not suggesting that Jacksonville should have won by 4 or more, but the Jaguars definitely should have won the game in the same way that Detroit should have beaten Tampa last week based on the box score and how the game went. So I do think Cleveland comes into the spot a little overvalued. And the question that I would ask people, and my franchise, my team is a total embarrassment, right? They lose the game last week. Just when you think they've reached a new low, grab the blue shovels, keep on digging, lose a game because you don't have a kicker. If the Giants win that game, not going away, but win it like a little comfortably on the road at Washington, I think the perception of this team is a lot different heading into this game against Cleveland. Now, something to consider, it's likely that Cleveland will get its two starting offensive tackles back for this game. I think this point spread is going to go up to 7, and I think that would be a buy point for me on the Giants. Now, as for Denver and Tampa, Tampa should not have won the game last week against Detroit. Bit of sour grapes for me, had Detroit in Survivor. Brutal exit there. But can you actually take the points with Bo Nix? I think it's 7. I think I actually would do it. It's Todd Bowles as a touchdown favorite, but then on the other side, it's Bo Nix. So Broncos or nothing for me there. And then Rams-Niners feels like a total crapshoot. Honestly, like, I might just bet Rams money line, like Rams to win the game. Injuries on both teams, both sides of the football. Now George Kittle might not play in the game. It's a stay away for me. I would probably lean into variance. If you're going to bet that game, bet Niners alts, like Niners to win by 17 or more, or just bet the Rams to win the game outright.
Nick, this isn't a straight betting question, but it applies to betting. Did you see where Mel Kiper was saying they should ban the too high safety look in the NFL?
Yeah, stupid.
But nobody's scoring. And
really
dumb. Some of these totals are like the Steelers and Chargers at 35. It does feel like something is changing where it's just hard to score the football these days. So is that because of the too high look? Is it injuries? Is it penalties? And are you going to keep on betting these unders? Because they're getting lower and lower.
My thought is, and this is totally subjective, I don't have to be right. I think the number one cause of this, and you know, like I used to work in the league. I worked for NFL radio for a decade, so I have a lot of contacts in the league that I can talk to, executives, et cetera, coaches, whatever. And the mantra that I get from people is it's because offensive line play is the worst it's ever been. And something else to consider now, with the way the offseason is structured, the way training camp practices are structured, with the agreement with the Players Association and the new collective bargaining agreements, September is basically August. Like, September is like a preseason month now. You know, we have Brian Baldinger around You Better, You Bet every week. He's said that each of the last 2 weeks has gone out of his way to say that September is the new August. So I'm not suggesting that we'll get into the holiday season in the holidays and there's going to be a ton of scoring. Like, that's not my suggestion. But I do think that as the season rolls along, we will see offenses round into form. I think the big problem is that offensive line development's absolutely terrible. And I don't mean to get like too in the weeds here, but think about college football and all the, and I'm not criticizing this. Coaches are doing what they have to do. All the gimmicky offenses in college football that are not pro-style offenses that might not be preparing offensive linemen to really and truly play at the next level and block like real grown men that are coming to kill the quarterback, right? So I think we have those two things. And then also, you know, we saw a lot of really great quarterbacks just like hang them up and retire. And the new wave of quarterbacks has not necessarily been as good. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe it's just luck. I'm not sure. But I think it's more a combination of those factors. Like, I think that's an excuse to say, wow, the defense has checkmated the offense. Like, this is professional football. Figure it out.
But Nick, I am looking at 35.5 for Chargers Steelers. I don't want to bet the under on 35.5. That's like,
you don't?
19 to 17. I mean, it's just so low. I feel, and obviously, you know more about this. It feels stressful to bet a number that low.
Well, I mean, is it when you have Justin Fields on one side and Justin Herbert with a walking boot on the other with two offenses that want to run the football? I mean, I do have a bet in that game. I will not bet the total. But yeah, like I understand where you're coming from. And I play like a ton of fantasy football. Like, I'm in like 70 leagues with best ball included. Like, I love this stuff. I bet props. It is frustrating, right? Like, we all want to see tons of scoring. Let's reserve judgment and see how this goes as the season moves along.
Nick, what's your best fantasy football name?
I have like really bad fantasy football names. I used to come up with like really inventive, like probably offensive ones like back in the day. And yeah. Now I'm just like, Tostos is like the name of my team. Or like even worse, like I have Malik Nabers on a few of my teams because I love him. And it's like, won't you be my neighbor, N-A-B-E-R. It's a, wow. I'm 41 and I'm a new dad. Like yeah. I'm not funny anymore.
No, you are really going towards sad dad territory.
Oh, big
there.
Time.
At least you admit it.
Big time.
Nick Costas, you better you bet. I give Perloff crap about that all the time. How about a couple road favorites? You already told us what you thought about San Francisco. You would say bet the Rams or an alternate line for the 49ers or nothing. Couple other road favorites we have for, I think you said that. Kansas City, 3-point favorite against Atlanta. Detroit, same 3-point favorite in Arizona, and then the Ravens, very small, 1-point favorite in Dallas. How do you see these road favorites?
Okay, so Ravens Cowboys is my least favorite of the three. If I had to bet the game, I would bet Baltimore. Not because everyone will say the trend, oh, well, Lamar Jackson is 20-1 against the NFC. Great, like, doesn't matter at all. Like, who cares? They haven't played the Cowboys in 4 years. I don't think it matters at all. But I do think the Ravens are better than the Cowboys. Dallas in week one did smash Cleveland. Box score probably a little closer than the final score would indicate. And then got boat raced last week by New Orleans. The Ravens came close to at least keeping the game close against the Chiefs. Like a toe away literally from maybe winning the game on Thursday Night Football. And not that I bet the Raiders last week. Not that they should have covered the spread in the game, won by 10, but definitely should have won. I think the Ravens are better than Dallas, the more desperate team. I would bet Baltimore. That's my least favorite of those three games. Quickly on the others. I bet Arizona +3 at home against Detroit. There's a case to be made. He won't win MVP because Arizona won't win enough games to get him there. But Kyler Murray is playing at an MVP level through the first two games of the season. There's a case to be made right now that he is the best quarterback in the NFL through the first 2 weeks of the season. I'm not saying he's the best, just that he's playing like he's the best. Mm. And conversely, kind of lost in what's happened with Detroit and the red zone foibles last weekend against Tampa Bay, Jared Goff's been brutal to start the season. I'm a Jared Goff fan. I think him and Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, too many weapons. They'll figure it out. But this is quarterback playing poorly on the road at quarterback playing well. We do run the risk of the Lions just like running the ball for 200 yards in this game with it, which is possible. But at 3, I will take the points with the Arizona Cardinals. And I would never bet the over in this game. Think about it. Detroit's going to run the ball. And 1-for-7 last week in the red zone, total in the 50s. I would bet the under there. And then Chiefs Falcons. I bet this game earlier in the week. I talked about it on You Better You Bet. I took the 3.5 with it. Atlanta at 3, probably no bet on the game. If it ever went to 2.5, would bet Kansas City immediately. Like 3 is the right number in this game. And I think Kansas, I'll be brief about this. I think Kansas City is going to three-peat. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl again. My issue with Kansas City now, without Isaiah Pacheco, out 6 to 8 weeks with a fractured fibula and no Hollywood Brown, I think we may see this Chiefs offense. And we saw a little bit of this last week against Cincinnati, where are they going to be able to sustain the offense, the explosive plays on offense to win games by margin? Like they went 11-6 last year, but every time they were a big favorite, they were not covering point spreads in games. So I'll take a shot on Falcons, but if you're going to bet Atlanta, you have to bet 3.5 or more. Do not bet 3.
Nick, I think one of the big questions in this NFL season, what do we do with the New Orleans Saints? Is this the real deal? I saw the spread is now 2.5. I believe it opened at 1. My Eagles are, I think they're in trouble against Derek Carr. He looks great.
Yeah, he does. And just to illustrate your point, Perloff, on Monday, prior to the Eagles-Falcons game kicking off, which the Eagles lost, and Saquon Barkley dropped a really, really big pass.
Oh, you don't say.
The $26 million drop. I thought, absolutely.
As my friend Chris Carlin tweeted out, that was the highlight of the Giants season. Saquon Barkley dropping that.
And at the end of the season, it'll be the highlight of the season also, which is really sad. The Eagles were a 2.5-point road favorite on the look, which is whatever, a look ahead line. You can't bet money into it, but just saying, perception wise, 2.5-point road favorite, now like a 3-point road dog, like, and a seismic move. And we see this every single year where a team like outperform expectations and the betting market kind of doesn't know what to do with them. So right now we're hanging on like Saints in between 2.5 and 3. Every time this goes up to 3, people will come and bet the Philadelphia Eagles as a number grab. You ask me my opinion, I think the Eagles are up against it here just in terms of a spot, right? Like AJ Brown's not going to play in the game. Secondary's been brutal. No pass rush in the game last week against Atlanta, notably on the final drive. And we'll see if New Orleans can sustain this throughout the entire season. But I mean, like, everyone needs to know this name, and I'm sure you guys have talked about him. Like, Gary Kubiak's son, Clint, who's the offensive coordinator in New Orleans, this keeps up. Like, he will be a head coach in the NFL next year. He will be coaching a team next season if this keeps up.
Probably the Giants.
Make me pick... I honestly love that. Send Dable back to Buffalo with your guys. Honestly, like, play Saints alts here. Like, if you like the Saints in the game, like, the Saints will probably kill them. Saints minus 9.5, Saints minus 6.5. That's how I would look to play this game.
All right, Nick, a couple more for you. Nick Costos joining us on You Better You Bet. Dolphins, Seahawks, like, you know, we talked a lot about the Dolphins. Are they going to try to get another quarterback? They're going to go with Skylar Thompson. You get a couple extra days to prepare. I don't really know what to make of the Seahawks. I have them as a playoff team, but a little shaky. That Patriots game had me, you know, a little nervous, and they have a defensive-minded head coach, so it's frustrating to watch because they're always kicking the field goal instead of going for it on a 4th-and-1. It's annoying to me. This is a 4.5-point spread. How do you see this?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick one on this. No bet for me on the game at the current number. This opened like 6.5, and like there was a way too big of an overreaction to Tua being out. So 4.5, like we're in like the dead zone right now.
Yeah,
like 3.5 and 5.5. No bet for me on the game made me bet it. I would actually bet Miami plus the points, but I think the point spread's perfect. And I just don't want to belabor the point anymore. I don't have a strong opinion on the game.
Okay, what about the Monday night doubleheader quickly? Because this will be the last time we're going to talk to you. So the Bills, 5-point favorite against what's got to be an extremely desperate Jaguars team that's 0-2. And then Bengals 0-2, although people will say, oh, that's they got everybody right where they want them, facing
right.
A Commanders team that basically has Jaden Daniels legs, and that's about it.
Yeah, so I like both underdogs here. I like the Jaguars plus 5.5. I'll have a ticket on the Jaguars to win the game, a smaller ticket. This is like absolutely desperate, backs against the wall Jaguars team, and it's possible they get trucked in this game. Like, Josh Allen's been awesome. The Bills have been really good. And then Doug Peterson likely to be the first coach fired if and when that happens. But we had not a identical setup, but a semi-similar setup to last year early in the season. Maggie, you'll remember this.
Yep.
Jaguars and the Bills play in London. Point spread's almost identical. Jaguars win the game, which is not a reason why the Jaguars can win this game, just that we have seen like early season Jaguars backs against the wall come out and play pretty well. I think this is like a kitchen sink game for Jacksonville. Maybe they don't win the game. I'll have a smaller bet on them to win in addition to my spread bet. Jaguars plus the points, and I bet the Commanders plus 7.5 on the road at Cincinnati. Like, I get it. Like, Bengals are better. Bengals are likely to win the game. I don't trust this Bengals defense at all. And I think Jaden Daniels and the Commanders can do enough offensively to at least stay inside the number in what I expect to be a high-scoring game. So I'll take both dogs on Monday night. Jaguars plus the points, Commies plus the points.
Well, you know, Jaguars co-owner Tony Khan's going to join us in studio in the next hour. So we'll be sure to ask him whether Doug Peterson is going to be the first coach fired.
Ask him when Will Ospreay is going to get the AEW championship. That's what I want to know.
We are also going to ask him that. Yes, I do remember that Bills-Jags game. Don't get me started about how the league favors Jacksonville by keeping them in London for 2 weeks in a row.
You think that means they favor them?
Well, it's the set. Bills play them in the second week. They're basically citizens of Great Britain at that point.
No, stop it. Come on. Stop it.
Nick, you're the best. Thank you. Nick Costos, You Better You Bet. You got a Shohei opinion, Nick?
Yeah, Shohei. Are you impressed by 50-50, or do you think stolen bases are watered down?
I don't understand. I think that's the worst question I've ever been asked. Well, I mean, who's not impressed by 50-50? Come on, what does that
mean? Talking to one of them.
Me and EJ Stewart, our producer. Hello. I mean,
but,
dude, you can't.
But like, I think you need to explain this.
Yes.
You got to explain that. I don't need to explain why I'm impressed by it.
You can steal bases right now.
No one's ever done it before.
The rules are so in favor of the base runner now. They're ridiculous.
No one's ever done it before.
Right.
Like, no one's ever done 50-50.
They're going to start doing it because stolen bases are easy. So it doesn't mean the same. And by the way, home runs aren't what they used to be, and you know it.
They are, though, right? Then now with the steroid era being over, they absolutely are. Or back to being what they used to be.
No, people are hitting more home runs than they've ever hit, even more than the steroid era. You cannot look at home runs.
What are you talking about? McGuire hits, Bonds hit 73 in a season. No one's coming close to that now.
What are you talking about? First of all, the MLB basically resets the total home run record every year. I mean, they're still hitting millions of homers. There's tons of homers. You can look your way at a Yankees hat. Your guy hits, you know, 50, just wakes, rolls out of bed and hits a home run.
Is this, so listen, I'm willing to acknowledge, like, you're probably more in the weeds on this than me in a good way. Do you, like, do you think we're going to see more 50-50 in the, like, in the near future?
Yeah, 100%. I will, in fact, I will guarantee you 50-50 will not last. You know, Shohei,
when's the next season going to be?
Next year. 60-60 for
Shohei. When will the next 50-50 season be?
Next
year. Besides for Shohei.
2025.
Okay. Maybe Juan Soto will do it for the Mets. Can't wait to see it. So listen, maybe you're right, but how can you not be impressed? And yesterday's game.
I'm totally impressed, but people call it the greatest day in baseball history, the greatest performance ever.
But was it not? Like, in all seriousness.
You're wearing a Yankees hat. What about Reggie Jackson, 3 home runs?
Yeah, but that's in the World Series. This is a regular season game.
I know. They said baseball, Joe Davis's call was the greatest day in the history of baseball, which he didn't say regular season. So then we're like, well, Reggie's 3, Don Larson's perfect game. Like, there's better performances.
Well, okay, so maybe it's a little bit prisoner of the moment, but yeah. I mean, it's okay, how about this? It's in the pantheon of great performances. Can we agree with that?
Yeah, it's in the ballpark. No pun intended.
Perloff, you hate him, man.
I just don't like, I mean, pantheon, I'll give you, it's pantheon worthy. Yeah. I'm not sure what that means.
And he's a pantheon sports gambler also.
Oh, one more thing.
Thank yeah, sure. you.
Nick, would you have him pitch? Maggie and I disagree about this all the time. Or would you just keep him as a hitter and preserve his health?
If I, like as a fan, I no, want to like see him pitch.
If you ran the Dodgers, what do you think you would do?
Oh, dude, their pitching's terrible. Of course he's got to pitch. Like, they're gonna get bounced in the first. They're gonna lose in the NLDS. Like, you're wearing a Phillies hat, Perloff. Like, you're not gonna see the your team will not see the Dodgers in the NLCS. They're getting bounced. Like, I want everyone to, like, right now, the Dodgers will not win one playoff series. Their pitching is atrocious. They will lose to whatever team they play in the NLDS.
Nick, the voice of reason. This is what I've been saying. They need, if Ohtani's going to win a World Series, he has got to be on the mound for the Dodgers in their biggest moments.
Nah, Perloff wants to see Bobby Miller pitch instead.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to go great.
As a Phillies fan, I'm sure he'd love to see that.
As long as we don't lose to the Mets, if we lose to the Mets and I'm relocating, I'm going to witness protection.
I'll tell you what, man. I bet your team last night just on the, like, I think the Mets will collapse.
Oh, I know. Isn't it weird that the Mets aren't collapsing?
It is weird. There is still time for what it's worth.
Hey.
I am wearing a Yankees hat. I understand.
Yeah, we're about to sweep you off here like amateur night at the Apollo. Nick, co-host of You Better You Bet, you're the best. We'll talk to you next Friday. Have a great show.
If it makes everyone feel better, the Yankees won't win the World Series either. Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Thank you, Nick Costos. Love the show, You Better You Bet. It's a must listen. Whether you're a gambler or not, it's just entertaining. Okay, we're going to come back. We have a lot more to do, including the M&P 500, whose stock is up and whose stock is down at the end of a very busy week. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you miss Nick Costos, co-host of You Better You Bet, you can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast wherever you get them. 5-star reviews are very helpful. It's a small thing. It really helps us a lot, though. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. Hello, Bogues.
Hello again, Maggie. I've got some breaking NBA news very close to home for your buddy over here. Joel Embiid signing a 3-year extension with the Sixers. Said to be worth $193 million. There's also a $69 million player option for the 28-29 season. Embiid tweeting this morning he wants to play his entire career in Philly and that Sixer fans, for reasons unknown, deserve a title.
Wait, is he have a no-trade clause in there?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, where?
What year is it? He's talking about 2029? 2024, okay.
Where are we in the NBA? Can guys grumble their way out of contracts? Like, should I feel safe that Embiid's going to stay there, or I'm going to have to worry.
Never.
KD style.
Wait, is this a good day for you? You hate Joel Embiid.
No. Like, you have to understand where the bar is. It is a good day. Like, I don't think Embiid's ever going to win a title, but he's way better than the alternative, which is not even making the playoffs.
Got it.
I mean, Paul George is 35, but generally this team, when Embiid's not on the court, they're G League level. They're not good. They're just picking guys off the garbage pile and put them out there.
Right,
scrap heap is what I meant. Not garbage. I apologize to Kelly Oubre Jr.
Apologize to garbage piles.
Yeah.
I don't forget you have Paul George.
Well, but George is so old, though.
We have Maxey, guys. He's the future.
Yes.
This year's team is more talented than last year's team. Last year, had a lot of salary guys.
Embiid gets hurt. I mean, like, trust me, they're going to be... They just are not a deep team. It's better than the alternative. But do you guys think he's going to win a title? He does not feel like a title-winning player.
Just won a gold medal.
Aren't you sweet?
Is that a bless my heart situation?
I feel like that should be the expectation. I think not putting that expectation on him is selling him short.
Yeah, it's $193 million extension.
He's MVP. He's going to make $65 million a year. You should put that expectation on him, whether you think he can do it or not.
How about him showing up in shape? Wouldn't you take that?
That will never happen. I mean, it's been a long time now. He's not young. I don't think he's going to win a title. I don't even think that's a hot take or...
Well, he's never gotten past the second round.
Yeah. He's hurt every single postseason. I mean, I have a lot of friends in my life and family who are Sixers fans, and they're all so cynical. They're like, yeah, it's great. We'll win 53 games, and he'll get hurt.
And lose to the Knicks in round two, right, EJ?
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, luckily for me, the Knicks will also get hurt because Thibodeau pays
all of them?
Yes, because they play 44 minutes a game in the regular season. All of them will get hurt again.
Okay, we'll see.
What else?
A little more than a year after his first home start ended with that torn Achilles, Aaron Rodgers back at MetLife last night, and it went much, much better.
Rodgers, quick toss to the left side. It's caught by Lazard. Makes a man miss. Lazard's still going. He's in. Touchdown. The Jets strike first. Lazard breaks away. Alex Austin couldn't bring him down. It's a 10-yard touchdown. Rodgers to Lazard.
Ian Eagle called it on Westwood One. Rodgers also connected with Garrett Wilson in a 24-3 demolition of the Patriots. New England quarterbacks sacked 7 times. That's plural because Drake May finished this game. The last drive for New England completed 4 passes, 22 yards. Was sacked twice. Head coach Gerard Mayo said postgame, the QB position, like all other positions, will be evaluated like after every game. The Bills don't play till Monday night, but have already ruled out linebacker Terrell Bernard with a pec injury and corner Teron Johnson with a forearm. The Boston Red Sox, 2-0 losers in Tampa Bay last night. They're 4 games behind the Twins and Tigers for the last AL wild card. As Minnesota comes to Fenway for the weekend, and we had more record-breaking on the final night of the WNBA regular season, but at least these are career records. Tina Charles, 10 points, 10 boards to set the all-time marks for rebounds and double-doubles. The win for her dream, 78-67 at the Liberty, get them into the postseason. They get to face those Liberty in round one starting on Sunday in Brooklyn. Guys, back to you.
So, Pearl, if you want to put breakfast on the line for our bet about what's going to be the audience for the Caitlin Clark's WNBA playoff game one.
Yeah, so the game is Sunday at 3. We'll probably get the rating maybe Monday night, so it might be Tuesday breakfast.
Okay, and you think it's going to be 2 million plus, I think it's going to be less than 2 million.
Less than 2 million, so that's the line.
Just because they're going up against the NFL, not because I'm trying to bash the WNBA.
It is on ABC, right?
Yep.
That helps.
Definitely, but again, does it help figure skating and gymnastics? Like, you're just doing a counter program with football.
They're not in the same category.
I get that, but I'm just saying the NFL is just the behemoth. And if you get a good game in those 1 o'clocks and you got the witching hour and it's coming down, it's going to be hard.
I don't think it's counter programming, really, necessarily. It's not a throwaway. Those things feel like throwaways, just like put on an infomercial, basically. I do feel the other thing, too, is that they average 1.2 million in the regular season, and it's Caitlin.
Right, but how many of those have they been going up against the NFL? A full slate of NFL games. I'm not trying to bash the WNBA. I think it's unfortunate they're going up against the NFL. Like, nothing wins when they go up against the NFL.
I don't know if the NFL doesn't raise all boats. Like, everyone's on their couch. So I wonder if there are things get, basically during commercial, you flip over the game. I don't know how these ratings work, but I feel like there's a lot of people on their TVs. On their TVs, like a device. Yeah. Is that where we're at now? Hey.
I just lay on mine.
Yeah. Aren't you afraid it's going to break?
The flat screen.
Very warm.
Boogers, thank you so much. All right, coming up in the next hour, Tony Khan, the president and CEO of AEW, also co-owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Fulham FC. He will join us in studio. And immediately, we'll talk about Shohei Ohtani and make some NFL picks. Maggie Perloff.